Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Good. Excellent. So we're looking forward to that weekend to join with a large number of the churches in the upper and lower valley to give opportunity for you to bring friends and family members and loved ones, even a complete stranger if you want to the festival and let them enjoy all the activities, but also hear the pure gospel message preached to their heart. So we're looking forward to that and joining with all the churches in Yakima to do that. And we're excited about that. But we're here this morning to worship Jesus Christ and to exalt Him. So I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. I'm going to be sharing out of the 10th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse, and we'll be reading a few verses there. And while you're turning there, let me pause and recognize that the Kilcoins are here. I can't see you. The lights are there. They are. Okay. These are our some of our state officials, the Christian Education and Youth Department. This is the main man. And so if you want to get these autographed after search, you can certainly do that. But it's so good to have them. Let's give them a welcome this morning. Shall you do that? Praise the Lord. We always appreciate our officials meeting with us and fellowshipping with us on the in the greatest church in the world, right here, amen? Amen. Praise God. In the 10th chapter, let me begin and share with you some word that I hope will encourage you this morning, especially if you've been going through some a trial or burden or some challenging in your life. Not all the burdens that we bear are of the same ilk. We, in a lifetime, are going to go through lots of challenges and lots of burdens and lots of situations that are going to challenge our faith, going to challenge our commitment. It's going to challenge our trust in Jesus Christ. And so let me read a portion of Scripture the author of the book of Hebrews shares with us, beginning in the 19th chapter. I misdirected you. The 19th verse of the 10th chapter. I think it's in the Bible somewhere. I'm going to be honest with you. I've got it marked up so much, I can't even read the numbers. That's my problem. But at any rate, let me begin in the 19th verse. This is an interesting portion of Scripture here because it speaks to some very practical issues in our lives. And I'd like to just encourage you to renew your focus in the Lord this morning. That's the theme of this message. But beginning in the 19th verse, reading through the 25th, you'll kind of catch the flavor of what I'm talking about. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. What day? Well, the great and terrible day of the Lord is one way of describing it. But for we Christians, the great and wonderful day of the Lord, and it may have the twofold purpose as well. It's not always just talking about the rapture of the church. It's also talking about the great day in which the Lord Jesus Christ sets his foot on this earth and reestablishes the throne of David and becomes the King of kings and Lord of lords. So there's probably dual purpose in that portion of Scripture. But I like the content of what the author is sharing with us, because a lot of our Christian experience is filled with the different challenges, especially when we're living in a hostile world. Amen? I don't know if you've recognized this, because sometimes as you live your life out, you tend to ignore some things, and you tend to deny some things, and you tend to go the way of least resistance sometimes. And so oftentimes the things that are going on and whirling on around you, you're not always aware of until those things directly affect your life. And at those moments, then it becomes a challenge. It becomes a disaster. It becomes a problem. It becomes a burden. It becomes an issue. And so I think when the author is writing this, I think he's thinking very much of those issues in our lives. It's no different today. It's just more complicated because we have more ways to go wrong. Amen? We have created a world with all kinds of temptations and ways in which we can escape and maybe leave some of the burdens behind us. But the author of this portion of Scripture is writing to encourage us to keep the proper focus. And if you've lost that focus, to take every effort to renew that focus. The focus, of course, is on Jesus Christ, our high priest, which he describes, the high priest over the house of God. That's why he encourages us to come to the house of God. I don't know why God does this. I don't know why he chooses to build us as people the way he does. Christians are built, once they become a Christian, once you become a Christian, you are in the process of being recreated, redesigned, rebuilt. And that's because of the sin, of course, in our lives. And once Christ comes into our lives and makes that transformation possible, we then begin the journey of growing into someone else, into an image of Jesus Christ. And so the works that God is doing in us is a unique way in which he does it. And it's an awesome way because it is uniquely tailored to every individual. I may be going through a very similar thing. I may be going through heart problems. I may be going through mental problems. I may be going through relationship problems. I may be having all manner of problems that are the same as you may be going through. But after I become a Christian, I believe the Lord, through a couple of methods, one, filtering those things, and also allowing only that which he wants to have happen in your life. Now, that's sometimes difficult to kind of balance that. But I think he does that so that the end work in your life will be what he wants and not necessarily what you want. Am I making sense? And so sometimes the struggles that you and I go through may be the exact same thing we're doing. I may be going through a divorce. I may be losing my job. I may have all number of things. You can just use your imagination. But uniquely, God still tailors that exact situation to you because you're a completely different individual. You're a completely different soul, a very valuable soul to Christ, of course. But he's very much concerned about you. But he filters those circumstances for your benefit because he knows you so well. And he filters them for the purpose of not allowing too much to be burdened you, placed upon you as a burden. And so that you will also, through the process, be equipped to handle future burdens that he may allow you to bear and also filter and go through in life. How many of you would have to admit that since you become a Christian, sometimes things seem to be coming out of the woodwork to challenge your walk with Christ? Am I talking to anybody this morning? One of the interesting things about it is he ties this, what he's just shared with you and I've just read for you, he ties those truths together with that day approaching. The idea being that there is something about urgency of Christ's return or the imminence of his return. There's something about that that challenges us. As Christians, we know that is the day. And we know it's approaching. We know it's coming. We can look at the signs and times around us. You can just look at your own personal life and realize that there's been an intensifying of the efforts of the enemy in your life. And one of the things that you should understand about that is that the enemy is attacking you. And I don't want to get churchy when I say this. You know what I mean? I want to get real life to you when I say this. But some of the things that you're being challenged with that seem to be so devastating and so much of an upheaval, they haven't taken your life yet. They haven't brought you to the shedding of blood. And one of the great things about that is it should let you know that God is deeply concerned with your life, deeply loves you, or he would not allow you to go through the things you're going through. Now, that's not a justification for somebody doing something bad to you. You don't just let people do bad things to you. You know what I mean? I think Christians need to understand that turning the other cheek does not mean just letting the person just beat the fire out of you. I like that preacher that said, well, they hit me once and I turned my cheek the other time, but after that, who knows what's going to happen. I think you need to be Christ-like if it's a challenge to your Christian walk. If somebody's beating you up in the name of, because you're a Christian and because you've proclaimed the gospel, or they're doing it as persecution, I think that that's something that you're not going to be able to have control over. But when somebody is just doing you harm and you have some ability to do something about it, I don't think we have to be so naive enough to think that we just have to go through people just destroying our lives and allowing them to do that. I think you should stand up, have a backbone, be what a Christian should be, a good example, but there's nothing wrong standing for your rights as an individual. Amen? Amen. And so what makes it difficult for us sometimes as Christians is that when life challenges, some of the issues that we face don't always challenge our Christian walk directly. But it seems that the enemy in his subtlety loves to challenge us in ways that we're not even associating those things with him. Am I right? Somebody rips you in a business deal, something of that nature. We don't always look at that as the enemy of our soul doing something. We look at that as if this guy has done something to me. But as Christians, you need to understand something. Everything that happens to you in life has a spiritual overtone. There's something spiritual. So you have to maintain a Christian example. So you can be like that Christian lady down in Mexico when we went down to Mexico to build a house down there. When they stole her camera, the kid on a bike stole her camera out of her car. She chased him down and pushed him off his bike. Took her camera back. And when she came back and reported to the leaders that she'd done this, I looked at her and I said, well, you did that in a good Christian way, did you? She said, of course I did. I did it forcefully. Taking the kingdom by force, you know. Oh, never mind. That was over your head a little bit. But anyway, you kind of get the idea of what I'm talking about. The challenges of our life seem to be the things that distract us the most in our spiritual walk with Christ. And that's the things that we want to talk a little bit about, not in specifics like I'm trying to invent for you this morning by mentioning different areas. But the challenges that you're facing this morning, this very morning, they have a choice involved there. There's a choice to allow the circumstance to overcome you, or a choice to overcome the circumstance with the power of Jesus Christ's blood. Amen? And so when challenges arise in our lives, our first reaction as Christians, our first response should be, is this a test from the Lord? Is this something where I can grow in the Lord? Is this something I can learn from? Is this something God can use to make me a better Christian? Now, I know that sounds so, I don't know how to describe it, but it sounds so easy. But most of the time when a challenge hits us, we're usually blindsided or not prepared for it. In fact, that's when the enemy likes to attack us, is when we're not prepared for it. And you would think that Christian people who pray and talk to the Lord and share with other people about the Lord and live a Christian life and fulfill the duties of being a Christian, of going to church and fellowshipping with God's people, growing in the Lord as we do, you would think they would be first responders. You would think that with all that spiritual knowledge and understanding, that's what we would do. But most of the time, when challenges arise, burdens arise, problems arise, we seldom approach them from a spiritual perspective. We seldom first respond with spiritual ideas or thoughts. We need to renew our focus. Because what happens to us when we don't respond that way, the challenge tends to overcome us rather than us overcoming the challenge. But Pastor, you're talking about my life being destroyed here. Yes, I know that. But you can come out of this as a victorious person, a victor. You can win the situation. You can win over this challenge in your life. And it has to do with you renewing your focus. What is the right focus when challenges face us? The focus is get God's attention. Think spiritually. We live in a literal world. We live in a In a carnal world, we live in a world that is antagonistic to our faith, does not support our values. So we have to take the lead in defeating those who want to defeat us. Amen? Am I talking to anybody this morning? Still with me? So I think a lot of it has to do with our perspective, our understanding, that God wants to use every opportunity, but He never lets anything come into our lives that's too heavy for us to handle. That's why I say you're here this morning, you're not bleeding, I don't see anybody in a cast. So I think that you're fairly healthy, so I think that you can probably overcome the circumstance. And don't let me oversimplify it. It's going to be tough. Working with Jesus and the Holy Spirit in your life is tough. Because God expects certain things from us. He expects us to be Christ-like. It's not a prerequisite to Him helping us, but He expects us to be Christ-like at the minimum, at least after He helps you. You know what I'm saying? When God helps you, don't you think you want to serve Him a little more commitment there? Or am I wrong? Or has Christianity turned into nothing but a spectator sport? Are we just observing Christians and Christianity? Or are we in the mix? Are we in the middle of the battle? Are we in the challenge? Are we in the fight? I think we've been asleep at the wheel on a lot of things, and I think we've been blamed for being asleep at the wheel for a lot of things. The truth of the matter is, I think what happens to the church is it gets so bogged down with fighting personal issues that we never realize, or do we plug into the resources that God has for us. And so I think we need to renew our focus. We need to look back again upon what is the most important thing in our lives. Really, it's not your wife and your kids. It's not your job. It's not life living. It is Jesus Christ. For He is the sustainer of all other things. He sustains your marriage. He sustains your life. He sustains your Christian walk. He helps you to walk like a Christian and talk like, what? Like, I was an Egyptian. What? I'm sorry. I don't know where I get those things. They just shoot through my mind. So we need to focus on our way. I think the challenge is for us. See, He's giving instruction in this portion of Scripture, but He's also laying the responsibility on you and I. Jesus has done the great work. And our struggle is, how do we get that great work applied to this specific problem in my life? How do I get God's work at Calvary, God's work in my life, God's salvation? I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I know all that eternal life thing, I've got that down, but how do I get His power in my problem? And it's not just as simple as, well, you got to pray 15 minutes a day, and you got to read your Bible 30 minutes a day, and you've got to do all this regimen. Those things are things you do because you love God and you want to learn more about Him. You do that. And prayer gets His attention, but it has to do with your focus. What am I really concerned about? What really is bugging me? Do I want God to make me victorious in this situation, or do I want God to give me vengeance in this situation? Hey, now I've seen some situations in this church where I say, get the biggest bazooka you can find and fire it. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying sometimes the things you go through and the things that are happening, I think you need to be explosive about it. But really, is that revenge you're asking for? Is that God, send your power down and destroy that person that hurt me or that situation, blow it up, make somebody pay for the pain I'm going through? I don't think that opens up the door for the power we really need to go through this situation and on the... See, here's the key. The most important thing is not where you are. It's where God is taking you. Yeah. See, you're already in the midst of the challenge. You're already in the midst of the burden, the trial, the situation, the circumstance. What God's concerned about, you're already there. You're not dead yet. God is really concerned about... Yeah, sustaining. He don't want you to pass out on Him. He wants you to stay alive. But He's most concerned on what you're going to be at the end of this, because these are not permanent things. These are not permanent things. You can get over just about everything in life. You can outlive almost every problem. Amen? Almost every problem. There are some that, you know, some of them are going to lead to your demise. We're all appointed to die, so there are some exceptions there. But for the most part, God is concerned about what He's doing in your life, getting His power into your life, getting His Son into your life so powerfully that circumstances don't overcome you, but you take the preemptive action of getting God's power involved from the beginning. I'm as guilty as anyone else when I say this. I have gone through so many things, only about halfway through it to say, what was I thinking? I should have asked Christ to help me weeks ago. But we have the tendency, the human nature that we have the tendency to do whatever we think we can do within our power and our means, thinking that this is life and we'll solve these issues. Nothing in a Christian's life is just an issue. God loves you. He's concerned about every aspect of your life. He's concerned with who you hang out with. He's concerned with you young people, who you will marry and what you'll do with the rest of your life. He's concerned about all of those issues. Because in the end, He wants you to be in heaven with Him. What an appropriate song. Amen? By the way, I didn't call him and tell him what to sing. Just sang a good song. But it's the truth. God wants to get you into heaven. Even if you don't want to go, He still wants you. Isn't that great? What kind of God is that? All those other gods, they just burn you up. Amen? But our God, loves us. Proved it. Proved it. You don't have to question whether He loves you. What you need to do is stop worrying about whether you love yourself and let God love you. Am I making any sense this morning? The challenge is there. So we have to focus on our way. We have to learn to allow the Holy Spirit, when He speaks to us, to do what He wants to do. Let me tell you what. There's never a challenge, never an issue that you've ever entered into that the Holy Spirit has not been speaking to you from the very beginning. From the very beginning, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. Sometimes He says, don't get involved. But we do anyway. Hello? Sometimes He says, don't go that way. But we go anyway. Do you know how much tougher we make it on God to get it right in our lives? Because the minute we go the wrong way, He has to do all kinds of things to get us back on the path that He originally wanted us down in the first place. It makes it harder for God to get the power into our lives. So one of the things we have to learn to do is surrender. That's one of those churchy terms that we use to tell people to give it to the Lord. Well, that's easy to say, but how do we do that? I'm not sure I have the exact answer for you. I know how I do it. I first of all tell Him, I have to do this confession thing. Maybe you don't have to do this. I have to tell Him, first of all, Lord, I have to confess that I'm sinning because I'm trying to do this my way. I'm trying to do this my way. And then I have to tell Him, Lord, I'm sorry for trying to do Your job. Lord, I'm sorry for trying to take charge of this situation and be the God of this situation. The third thing I have to tell Him, God, You are God. You be God. I surrender this to You. I let You have that power in my life. I say yes to Your Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you what. Bells and whistles and lights don't go off when you say that. But slowly the Holy Spirit's voice becomes a little louder. You see, the Holy Spirit is a spirit, so He whispers. Did you know that? He has a still, small voice. So if you're yelling and screaming about what you're going through, you can't hear Him. And He wants to speak peace into your life. He wants to speak strength and courage and power into your life. And He can't do it unless you first surrender to that. You know why we don't surrender to it? We don't believe it has enough power for our situation. Our situation is just a little too big for that kind of thing to happen in our lives. And that's the first mistake we make. Because that power, that still small voice, what the Holy Spirit can speak into our lives, is so powerful that if we would surrender to that, the Holy Ghost would not only speak to us, because you see, the Holy Spirit conquers all of our situations by first speaking to our hearts. Hello? Only 15 more minutes. He speaks first to our, he gets us right first before he directly affects the circumstances. If my heart is right, God is on my side. Oh, he's on my side anyway, but if my heart is right, he's going to be able to do more because I'm getting out of his way and letting him. Let me ask you something. Just take you back to the night you received Jesus Christ. Mine was in the evening. It may not have been for you, but let me project that onto you. But the night I received Jesus Christ, I remember what surrendering was then. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew what it was like when I did it. The pastor said, just talk to him like you're talking to your best friend. I did that and told him, hey, something's going on in here. And I want what these people like. They look like they're pretty peaceful people. I want it. Because I was willing to ask for that, let that into my life, accept that. Doesn't mean I accept the circumstance, but it means I accept the response or the answer to that. And that is Jesus Christ. And when I received Christ that night, and as you did, whenever it was, day, night, whatever it was, when you received Christ, you surrendered to him. You surrendered. You let the Holy Spirit do something in your life. By the way, that is the key to letting him do it in your life right now. It's the same. We have made it convoluted. We have made it difficult. So as we try to focus on our way, we can't even see our way. Am I making any sense? Because we tend to go our own way. So then we need to focus, secondly, upon God's way. All things are right when Jesus is our focus. He makes life new. He just talks about it in the scripture I read for you. A new and a living way. All the other way was dead and lifeless. It's like church this morning. Somebody should be running around the church because of what I just said. We got a brand new life. We got a brand new way, and we're alive. We're not dead. I hope we're not dead. The new and living way. That's his focus. That's it. And it's all focused on Jesus Christ. So when the problem arises, we should seek Christ with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. And by the way, he's not so far away that he cannot hear you when you cry. He tells us to let's draw near, verse 22, with a true heart. What's a true heart? It doesn't mean a sinful or sinless heart, necessarily. Depends on where you are in Christ. But it means a true heart. A heart that wants the true power of God in their lives. A heart that doesn't focus on the wrong things and expect the same result of what God could do. Does that make sense? Expecting other things to do what only God can do. A true heart wants God and all of his truth and all of his love and all of his power in our lives. That doesn't mean we're going to always walk around with goosebumps and shaking and screaming and all that. Doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that we face our challenges as victors, not losers. A true heart. The heart is in focus. It's in proper perspective. I like that. I like that. A true heart with the full assurance of faith. That's the other key to opening the door wider. You open it by surrender, and you open it wider by faith, by believing that God is going to answer and respond. When has he never answered? Tell me one time he's never responded to you. I defy you this morning to tell me of a moment when you spoke to God that he did not respond to you. Don't blame God for not being on the job. God is always there. And he responds every time you call. That's the kind of God we serve. It's not one we've got to rip our clothes and sackcloth and ashes and crawl on our knees for a mile to the shrine to try to hopefully show our faithfulness to this God. God requires nothing but your faith. All the glory of God is yours by faith. Oh, Pastor, what does that mean? Does that mean I mentally agree with what you're saying? Not at all. That's a portion of it. It is to believe with a true heart. With a true heart, the right focus. The focus is Jesus Christ. When I call upon the Lord, He hears me and He delivers me from all mine enemies. That's good. That wasn't good, but it's good. God wants our whole person. You know what preachers do? Let me tell you what preachers ultimately do. They try to get you to do the obvious. And here's the truth of it. You can walk out of this church this morning with victory, or you can walk out of this church and do it yourself. And in 1 week's time, come back and tell me the results, and I'll guarantee you, if you did it yourself, you're still coming back looking for an answer. But someone who put it in the hands of Jesus Christ will walk out of here victorious with a true heart, consecrated before the Lord. You know, being consecrated to the Lord does not mean that you have to pray 6 hours a day and read your Bible 6 hours a day. By the way, length of time you do those things has nothing to do with it. It's the quality of this heart. That doesn't mean you're not required to do that. God wants you to pray. He likes to talk to you now and then. He wants you to read His Word because He wants you to know about Him and know what His ways are. He wants all those things. And that's what preachers do. We try to get you to do God's things, God's way, and walk in His ways. Because that's what spiritual leadership is, to show you this is the way we should go. We should do it this way. And we'll be successful. I look at the Scripture and I see that everybody who surrenders to the Lord becomes victorious. Is that not cool? Every time, without doubt, God answers and does wonderful things. I think what we fail to realize is that miracles come in all kinds of forms. Deliverance comes in all kinds of forms. We want to look and see a dead body raised out of a casket. Blinded eyes open, lame people walk. We want to have deaf people hear. We want to see that kind of thing, and I'll believe in God then, or I'll trust God more then. You know how God mostly works? On mom, you surviving the day with 9 kids hanging off you for 9 hours. That's a miracle. You know what I'm saying? Most of the miracles that happen in our lives have little to do with the dramatics that we look for in a revival service or whatever. Sir, most of the miracles are that you made it to church this Sunday. That you obeyed the Lord and you did not forsake the gathering of yourself into His, not to church, into His presence. Because the high priest is here. And He's consecrated this place. And He's here to minister to the need. But why? Because He loves you. So much that He's been working with you through every issue of your life, every day of the week. That's the kind of God we serve. It's not a weekly God. It's not a once-in-a-while God. It's a consistent, everyday God. And so when we focus on Jesus Christ, what does He say we do? Well, we come to the house of God, obviously, so the high priest can minister to it. But it says that we encourage one another in the Lord to do good works. I'm here to help you do good things. What's good works? Well, be good to your brother, be good to your dog, be good to your neighbor, be good to everybody. Do good things. That's awesome. What's He talking about? He's talking about something spiritual happening in us by surrendering and using faith to open the door wider so the power of God can reach us quicker and greater capacity. But that in the end, it should play out in some very practical ways. It should be seen, observable. I should be able to see the effect of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. How you talk about God, how you talk to each other, how you share with one another, how you give God credit for all the things He's doing good in your life. And when you gather in the house of the Lord, the Spirit of God comes and He ministers to us. That's pretty good and encouraging thing. That tells me you're doing right. That tells me you're walking right. Does that tell me you're perfect? Ain't no animal. I know Dana's thought he was perfect once or twice, but I had to help him out on that. And it even crossed my mind once. Or twice. Maybe 3 times. Focus on the Lord. Why? Because His example and His promises I like the promises of God because He promises miracles. You don't realize that everyday stuff I just talked about, that is a miracle. God works miracles every day in our lives. The problem is we don't know what they look like. We identify them. You know where the biggest, let me give you some of the biggest miracles in the Bible. It was not when He called Lazarus out of the grave. It was when He forgave the woman caught in adultery. It was not when He opened blinded eyes. Is when He met the woman at the well. Why? Because people's lives were definitely changed. Divine power changed their lives. I think we need to refocus and renew our focus on what miracles are. Because if you focus on Jesus, more miracles are going to be recognized. Don't you like that? A miracle, by definition, is something that is supernatural, that is out of the ordinary, out of what we can do in our ordinary lives. How many of you would be honest with yourself, even if you're mad at God, even if you're mad at God this morning, would raise your hand and say, as I look back over this last week, I really believe God worked a miracle in my life. Amen. Now, those of you that may not be sure, how many of you can look back this back, even if you're angry with God, and you're mad at Him, and you're shaking a fist at Him, and you're blaming Him for what's happening to you, even if you're going through that, you can still look and see, you know, there's a couple things there. I don't know how that happened. How many of you raise your hand and say that? See, to me, those are greater miracles than raising people from the dead. Why? Because it did something in your life. You recognized it. You saw this had to be the hand of God. If we would just be more aware, we would really see more miracles that we want to see miracles. And I don't know, I think blessed is the man that serves Christ without seeing miracles. Don't you think? Just believe, trust God. I know what He did for me. I'm going to stay true and faithful, live for Him, be faithful to God, do good works for Him because of what He did for me. If He never does another thing, if I never see another miracle, He still has done a great thing. That to me is the greatest testimony in the world. Not what He delivered me from and how horrible I was and look at the great contrast. You can see the difference between me. Now I'm perfect and then I wasn't perfect. Well, I ain't perfect now either. But I'm far better than I were. So some of you are listening. So let me close with this, try to encourage you. We can have just a moment of prayer. We'll just have a prayer together at the end of the service, but anything God does in our lives is supernatural. Anything He does is a miracle. He does it for several reasons. One, to encourage us as individuals so that we will trust Him for more in our personal lives, so that we'll trust Him for more in our family lives, and so that we'll have the capacity to trust Him more in our church life, so that the church as a body of believers with a vision can accomplish more for Christ because I've joined my faith to what God is doing. One of the other things that we need to live that kind of a miraculous lifestyle focused on Christ, because I think it encourages those who don't know Him to want to know Him. You know something? You may not realize this. I know you think you're mad at God and God's done this to you and what a cruel God He is, and someday He'll wake up and realize how important and wonderful you are and He'll do something for you. But here's the truth. God is so awesome and so good and so great that somehow through your life, with all of its ups, downs, pitfalls, hit the dirt, whatever, and you think you're such a failure. Did you know God really does use your life to attract other people to the gospel? It's the truth. People are observing you. Oh, go ahead, try to hide. It won't do you a bit of good. Because somewhere along the line, you got to go buy groceries. And it might be an old Safeway over here that you run right into a divine appointment. And God uses your Christian walk. Somebody has recognized in you, and they'll get you. They'll corner you. They'll talk to you. God will use your life. I don't care how perfect people seem to be. They're not. And I don't care how imperfect you think you are. You're not. God is still using you. And that's one of the cool things about His miracles in your life. Listen to me. People are watching your life. They need to see what God is doing in your life to know that God is real. So the miracles God does in your life are going to be an attraction to those who need to know Jesus Christ. And finally, the last thing that he's preparing us for is that day that is approaching. We hope in this day. Now, this does not mean that you should go out and max out all those credit cards because Jesus is coming. That's pretty convoluted Christian thinking, don't you think? I'm going to, because off to heaven I go. Now, that's a philosophy. It's not the best philosophy. How did I even get there? He encourages us because there's a reason. There's value in what you do in investing in your spiritual walk. Learning how to surrender. Learning how to let your faith bring the power and the wisdom and the glory of God into your life and to help you with the circumstances you're going through. It doesn't mean you have to be speaking in tongues all day long and prophesying all day long and all those things. Those things are good. But that is not a sign of how spiritual you are. You know what's a sign of how spiritual you are? You've got a true heart. Hello? You gather together with the saints. You focus on Jesus Christ. And you anticipate that day of coming with hope and joy. Not with fear. Man, if he gets, am I going to go or am I not? You can know for certain. For certain. So this should not be a day that causes fear in our hearts. When we hear the day's coming, we should get excited about that. The greatest miracle of all is when Jesus calls us home. Isn't that awesome? But think about it. Think about it. The author is using this truth as an encouragement to us. Not as a sword hanging over our heads, but as a promise, as a hope that the high priest has already consecrated for us. Not only how we live, but where we're going. We should always have our eye on our duty for Christ and our ear listening for the trumpet for when he calls us home. Then all the things that you've gone through and all the burdens, guess what? They'll be gone. And the ones you've gone through and been successful or maybe not so successful, you'll understand them. I don't care. You know, win or lose or draw, I just like to understand some of this stuff that you have to go through. Why do we have to go through that? I'd rather be like Enoch, huh? That was a good guy. He was not because God took him. Hey, I don't care if you know my name. I don't think Enoch cares if we knew his name. I don't even care if you remember me on this planet, just so I'm with him in the end. The most important thing is get our lives on course. Renew our focus. Renew our commitment. Let's stand, shall we? I want to have this prayer with you because I know some of you are going through some pretty serious issues and I'm not making light at all, although sometimes I seem a little facetious when I'm sharing things with you, but I'm heavily aware of some of the issues some of you are dealing with in your personal lives and how you really need God to come on the scene and do something. And you've probably been waiting for God to rescue you and help you. And it seems like he's far away, can't hear. Trust me, he's not far away. And what you're experiencing, he's filtering. Think what it would be like if God was not helping you. And I don't think he asks me to preach a word to you if he doesn't have in mind doing something in your life. Otherwise, why gather in the house of God? The high priest can't do anything. Why gather? Well, I come to the house of God because God has answered prayers. God has delivered me. God has helped me, as most of us would say this morning. So I want to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray with me. And I'm going to ask God to help our hearts to be pure and our faith to be strong, so that he can do in us first and then do in our circumstances. Amen? You know what? One little side note before I pray. If you focused on God, working, getting your heart right with God, not that it's all wrong or anything like that, but having a true heart before the Lord and letting Him work on you first, do you know what? You'll wake up one day and the circumstance will be taken care of because you've been focusing only on Jesus. You'll wake up and say, hey, I was going through something, wasn't I? But He helped me. And how does He do that? By keeping your focus on Him. He will help you. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, You see the hearts of every one of us here this morning. And sometimes You lay these kinds of burdens on us because You want us to approach You with the right heart and the right attitude. And so, Father, we come to You this morning, not with all the answers. We don't have all the answers. There's no real A, B, C equals D. It's that we're going to have to live through this trial and error in many ways. But if we trust in You, there's less error. If we focus on You, there's less problem. There's less error. You're able to pour Your power through our lives by changing us. So do that first, Lord. We yield to You this morning. Lord, do that. We surrender to You. You work on our hearts. Work on our lives. Work on our spirits. And then, Father, work on our circumstances. We give them to You. We obviously can't do anything about it. Oh, we can affect it and influence it and cry about it and scream about it and even get angry, and we can even do things about it, but it always seems to be incomplete and never solves the problem. If we give it to You, You're able to help us cry out to You when we're frustrated. And when we're angry, we can give it to You and somehow You solve the problem. We want to do that this morning, Lord. However that's done, Lord, we just pray that You would look into our hearts. Change them if is necessary. But I give this circumstance to You because I can do nothing about it. I want You to guide me. Let me do the things I can do, but let me do them right. And guide me through this deep water to the other side. And I will trust You. And I will look to You. Even when I'm angry with You, I'll still look to You. Even when I'm frustrated and it doesn't seem like You're hearing me, I will trust that You're hearing my prayer this morning. And as I surrender it to You, Lord, I praise You. And I thank You for helping me and delivering me. And I praise You in Jesus, His name, Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you this morning. God bless you this morning. And praise the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.